RNZ National, it's Tuesday afternoon, time for Tech Tuesday with Daniel Watson from Vertec IT Services. Hey there, Daniel.
G'day, Jesse.
You're going to chat to us about repairing our own stuff. Now, I've got a mate who always, when something goes wrong with an Apple product, he always get on YouTube, send away for some tools and try and fix it himself. And he has a bit of a 50-50 record with it. Sometimes he completely breaks it and voids the warranty. And sometimes he ends up doing for $50 what a repairer would do for $800. So he was quite bemused by this announcement that actually Apple was going to start encouraging this. What's the background?
Look, there's a whole movement for the right to repair internationally. The thing with Apple is that they've been a pretty much a closed shop for a long time, and they don't necessarily make it easy for third-party people to work on their kit. Now, I'm sure they've got their own reasons for it, but there's definitely a trend, and it's been going on for the last few decades, towards providing kit which, well, if it breaks, it's almost not worth repairing it. They would just rather you bought the newest model.
Yes, right. I had that exact problem, Daniel, with my MacBook, where the space bar stopped working, and I took it in. They said, "Oh, we'll need to. It's out of warranty now. We'll have to repair the whole keyboard. It's going to be, I think it was about $600 for a space bar." And I'm like, "Well, why don't I just get another computer?"
Cool. And there's some technical reasons behind some of that stuff, because, you know, the more and more of these, as you drive miniaturization, less things are easy to replace because they're actually soldered directly onto the motherboard, as it were. But, you know, skilled technicians can work with those even still. And, you know, there's, you know, I think everybody has probably got some kit that they've inherited from their parents at some part, or their grandfather, which is still going many decades after it was first produced.
Yeah.
Right. And and people cherish those things, but nobody cherishes a mobile phone in the same way, because, you know, there's always something better and bigger and faster and cooler coming out. But that trend has also been going across a whole wide swathe of items, right? So, you know, there's a lot of fast fashion, fast furniture, fast electronics. And the kind of expectation is it just gets thrown away, which, when you think about it, is extremely wasteful, because there's been a lot of energy going into extracting the raw materials out of the ground to actually produce it, the labor. And then, you know, like, you get one rip in it or a scratch in it, and people are like going, "Oh, just throw it away." So what happens with all that stuff? It either ends up in a landfill, which in the case of electronics is not super awesome, because there's a lot of valuable materials inside that, and also some of those materials aren't exactly, you know,
good for the earth,
nature friendly.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So there is a bit of a push out there to encourage organizations to provide spare parts and manuals for allowing people to either do it themselves or allow businesses to actually continue to repair things. But it's not, under the Consumer Guarantees Act, yes, you have to have spare parts and repair facilities, unless upfront you state that you don't have spare parts and repair facilities, in which case it's usually a one-for-one replacement swap, which then just goes into the landfill, right?
But still pretty significant when a couple of weeks ago Apple said that they were now going to supply the things that you would need to repair their devices yourself.
Yeah, this is a good move. This is a good move. So it's either, you know, we get government to legislate to make requirements of these large corporations to do this, or we do it through, you know, the old voting with your feet, right? Which is a bit harder to do. I personally...